Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Oh, sorry. It's because he's got so much talent.
He's got so much of something.
He can work on multiple stations at once. Okay. We're talking about ourselves, of course.
A lot to go around, baby.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of a bawdy limerick I heard earlier. Okay, it's 48 seconds after the hour of 12. So a professional. Can we start over? All right, hold on. We're going to be quiet now. Everybody's just going to...
All right, hang on.
All right, I'm just going to pretend that whole thing didn't happen. Okay. Okay.
All right, you ready to go?
Okay,
right.
Okay.
Attention, Abby.
No, are we going to do it again?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you...
I don't know why it's not...
Well, all right. Okay. Trying to
I guess that's as good as it gets.
It's,
you know, that's my karma. Yeah, that is our my karma.
That is our karma right now for exactly making fun of that guy. All right.
Okay. Wait.
If only he was. If only he was working here. This wouldn't
it would
be
sound
happening.
Just like that.
You're a jerk.
We all know it.
Okay, we're gonna stop now. Okay, everybody. Everybody, be quiet.
Are we ready?
Okay.
Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Okay. All right. It's now 2 minutes and 10 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of May, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, Megan, a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed and karma-filled studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970. That is your phone number today should you choose to engage with us in any way. It's 503-733-2970. 970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right. So there you go. Just going to continue on as though nothing happened. All right. So here is the big news, of course, the biggest story of the day. We were on Coin last night again. Booyah! I can't say booyah anymore.
One story.
Kramer is taking that now. I can no longer say booyah. It was a donut. You know what somebody pointed out to me the other day? In radio, there is this term called a donut. I am a donut.
It's not done very often anymore.
No, it's
something from a bygone.
It's something from a past, from the days of yore. I don't really know what a yore is either. Everybody talks about that, like a days of yore, Y-O-R-E. What is that? What is a yore?
I don't think anybody's thinking about that.
Well, anyway, there's this thing called a donut. This whole show sounds like gibberish. It sounds like we are speaking in complete incomprehensibilities. But there's this thing called a donut, and it is a commercial that you'll hear sometimes where there's a big produced fancy opening, and then a middle part where they hire some local schlub to read the copy, and a big fancy produced ending.
Like a mattress commercial.
And kind of Band-Aid was like this when Sarah Dillon was doing Band-Aid. Big produced open, and then Sarah comes on and says, hey, here's the deal, and go rock. And then at the end, there's like, blah, Band-Aid, Sarah Dillon.
Wow, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that whole thing. It's a donut. It is basically because there's a beginning and an end and a hole in the middle where you kind of put the stuff that changes every day. We were at the donut last night on Coin. They started with us. They did a whole bunch of crap no one cares about the election. And then they ended with us. And so we've got the sound. Did you see it last night?
You know what? I watched the 5, 5:30, and 6 o'clock. I must have just...
Clearly not. We were there. We were on at the 5.
I started watching it like... Yeah, I started watching it like 5:12.
It was on at 5:05.
Yeah, we were one of the lead stories. Mm-hmm. Not us as such.
See, but I know... I thought that they were going to replay it, because usually they replay
stories. No, that stupid warehouse or whatever caught on fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's the real tragedy in that whole fire, is that it bumped us off the Coin news for the rest of the night. That really is the humanity.
Maybe we should have gone to the fire.
Yeah. We should have stood up front and made pithy remarks. Well, in any event, this whole show, you know, it all started when we were ridiculing
another person who works in radio. Like 30 seconds before we went on the air, we started making fun of someone in radio. And now this is God punishing us because the whole show is already off the rails. Anyway, we'll play the sound from last night's coin news.
Did it turn out well?
Yes. Well, I suppose. I that depends on what one means by well. I guess it depends on who you are. I'm fine with it because they showed the logo. They showed the logo and
I didn't see the logo.
I'm not sure that they said AM 970. They said Rick Emerson, but they got a big shot of the logo on the phone where you put it.
Yeah.
It was
I saw that.
Decoration.
But on the meters, I only saw the A.
No, they zoomed in as tight as possible on the meters. Like, let's try and not show the station's logo again. Try to avoid any advertising for the... Don't let anybody actually know where they can hear this radio program. Try to make it as difficult as possible for anybody in the audience to figure out where the show airs. So we'll play this in. What up? We got a new watch today. Today is the inaugural edition of a brand new watch coming up. Let's see what else. Religious nutcase watch, Guns N' Roses news, and this is actual real Guns N' Roses news. See, for so long now, we've had this sort of pseudo news. And the Guns N' Roses news just consists of, like, Axl still crazy, record still not released, millions still don't care. We've got actual Guns N' Roses, and it's cool, too. I wouldn't say, you know me, I wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. We've got real cool Guns N' Roses news today. An actual thing happened. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine going to be here later on, and I never thought I'd say these words. They might be digging up the body of Jimmy Hoffa today, or whatever's left of it. So we'll get to that later on. What else? Top five rock and roll drum intros of all time. And, of course, we're counting down to them blowing up the Trojan nuclear cooling towers. We'll talk a little bit more about that and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who actually has the Trojan is that your wallpaper on your cell phone?
I do, yes.
Good for you.
I almost crashed my car. I was trying to take a picture of it.
That's sweet.
Yeah. See,
it would have been for a good cause.
See, so that soon memories and that photo will be all you have left.
I know.
That's very sad. All right, and blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah. I was going to ask you something. I don't even know what it was.
Okay.
All right, Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories today.
There was a big, gigantic fire on the east side last night. Everybody was there. Surprisingly, A&E will trim very little for the syndicated Sopranos. Yes, it's going to be on free basic cable.
On A&E?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I was afraid it was going to end up on ABC or just some crap.
Katie Holmes has been sobbing uncontrollably since having Tom Cruise's baby. And David Spade gets dumped, so he's back on the market now, ladies.
Lucky you. You know, why didn't he just suck it up right now and give into the inevitable and play George Stephanopoulos in a made-for-TV movie about the Clinton years?
That's the only
gig in that guy's future.
The answer is always no.
The answer is that nobody wants to watch him. Or do anything else with him, clearly. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Acting, surfing, doesn't matter. No one wants to do any of it. What else? Well, that's it. So last night, if you didn't see, we were on Coin. We'll play that here in a little while. And I talked to Mike Donahue this morning, who doesn't look at all like I thought he would.
Very distinguished.
I didn't know what he looked like, because I don't ever watch the news.
And when there was that snowstorm, I got to work with him one day. It was a privilege. He was very nice.
No, he looks very trustworthy. Looks very solid. So I watched last night, and I called him this morning, and I feel so bad for that guy who was having to edit together that footage last night. If you watch the news, it was just me desperately trying to keep a straight face. Just trying so hard.
Looking concerned
and trying so hard not to laugh as the guy calls up and starts quoting a Trey Parker song. And he's like, Rick, freedom isn't free. It costs $1.05. You know, and I'm just desperately trying not to laugh. And then what is the one phrase that they uttered last night that a guy said yesterday during the segment?
And it closed the story, by
that
the
they
way.
Closed it with.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
What is the one phrase?
Is it the govern with my rifle?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Of like the 20 minutes worth of phone calls. In case you didn't hear it, yesterday
he was in here for a half an hour.
The guy was in here from Coin yesterday talking about the low voter turnout on the election. And we pretended to be a real news station for like 9 minutes and packed the phones, tried to get as many serious sounding comments as possible so that we could, you know, be on the news. What do they pick? They pick the one guy that goes, I think it's time for the people to start voting with their rifles. That's what they pick. That's what they go out with. That's they go out on that tag. That's it.
It was so Portland.
That's what you want Les Moonves to see when he's looking at a reel of the. Here's our new edgy midday show. Listen to this as this man advocates violent overthrow of the government. It's good stuff, Les.
So is the news story better for some people than others? Because you said depending on who you were, I asked if it turned out.
If you're you, it's great because you looked great.
Two close-ups.
Tim, they didn't show at all, did they?
Well, that's kind of making up for last time because I was kind of the story hog in the last
Last time it was an all Tim.
Desperately avoiding you.
I look sweaty and blotchy and I'm sweating through my shirt. And then, of course, you look radiant. So there you go. The camera, you...
I was kind of nervous because I hadn't plucked my eyebrows and he was really close.
That's stupid.
It isn't, though, because... You
have you
HGTV.
Plucked them today?
No.
They look fine.
No, but I need to, like, right under here. And
underneath, not between?
Yeah, underneath. No, and so his camera was 2 inches away from my face.
You're not... No one has HD, though. No one can see that.
Yeah.
You'd probably hold up in HD.
Nah.
I think so.
I've seen people in HD that don't hold up. Mm-hmm. Cameron Diaz.
Terry Hatcher.
Yeah. Probably anybody who's a local newscaster. They all... I mean, but you'd probably hold up, though. I could see that. Do you get hairy eyelids or something?
No, it's right underneath, like, the arch of your eyebrow. You have to...
You're not going
to
be one of those crazy old women that gets rid of them when you get old.
No.
And paints them back on.
You have to... I've helped you with your body hair before. I've helped you trim your eyebrows.
Women have to be careful, though. I know a woman who got a partial facelift, and the doctor broke one of her eyebrows. So one of them goes up and stays up there, and the other one stays down. So she has to go back and have...
She looks permanently interested in things.
So now she has to go back for eyebrow repair.
No.
Next week.
She looks permanently inquisitive.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she does.
Like she's always kind of going, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. She always looks like Stephen Colbert. John. All right.
So now the doctor can't guarantee that he can fix it.
Dumbest show ever. But that's why people listen, for this sort of slice of life conversation. Well, let's be done with this. Let's go to the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Where were you when that big fire broke out last night?
Where were you when the fire started burning?
Firefighters are mopping up after being kept busy all night. This fire started conveniently right before the 11 o'clock news. At Taylor Electrical Supply on 3rd and Southeast Clay, right next to the Hawthorne Bridge.
Taylor Electrical Supply. Mm-hmm. Who could have seen this? You know, they just rub their hands together in glee, too, whenever a fire... There's a fire! It was the entire news.
I'm not sure it's the people at Taylor Electrical Supply who are rubbing their hands together with glee. Their insurance company.
No, not them. I meant the people at Coin 6.
Oh, well, any TV people would. Or radio people, for that matter.
Well, that's worth talking about. I'm just saying that the entire 11 o'clock news on Coin last night...
Flames leaping 150 feet high.
They didn't even go to commercial. They didn't even do a commercial break. They didn't even do a stop set until like 11:25. It was just a, you know, and it's like that's all it was, because fire equals ratings. That's what it is.
Firefighters had to deal with power lines falling and overloaded transformers blowing up. It's way too early to have an estimate of damage, but there isn't very much left. Large amounts of wire and other electrical components fed the flames and were visible from many parts of the city.
I tried to see it, but I couldn't. There was smoke this morning, but I didn't see any.
Yeah, when I was pedaling into work just before 11, they were still...
Well, I didn't.
Rick, it's National Ride Your Bike to Work Day.
It's not. It's not.
It is.
Is it today?
It is today.
I drove.
This is also the anniversary of what, everybody?
Mount St. Helens.
We're not going to talk about it, though. Everybody knows.
Really? Is today the 18th?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? There you go. I usually pedal. This morning, I overslept, and I had a meeting, and I drove.
Oh, that's a lot of excuses.
And I drive over the Ross Island Bridge, so I'm too far away to see the smoke. Well, whatever. So it's National Ride Your Blah, 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 blah. No one cares. Anyway, so yeah, there's a fire.
Big fire.
Or fire, as they say. And it was fed by what? Something? And then something.
Wire and electrical. Things.
Fire fed by wire, and flames get higher.
People blowing on it.
Here's... I don't want you to think that we're not taking this seriously. We are. I'm saying here that I don't understand a couple things. Do you know this? Because last night it was a 3-alarm fire.
It is a 4-alarm fire.
Okay, but...
Well, there was another alarm after they said there were 3.
That's what I'm saying, because when I was watching Coin News 6 last night, they were bringing it home. I was sitting there waiting to see my own face on television.
They were too
and you were at home.
They were too
I was at home, mm-hmm. And then they brought it to me via coaxial cable. It was in my house, the news from Coin News 6. And and my point is, last night it was a 3-alarm fire. The 3-alarm fire rocks downtown. Well, but then this morning, 4 alarms.
Well, the alarm caller was too busy at that time because they have to multitask over there now.
But what are the alarms? I don't mean for this to sound like a bad Seinfeld thing.
I don't know either, but I knew you were going to ask.
Aren't you curious?
The alarms go off in the firehouse.
Is it like maybe how many firehouses have to respond?
Wait, hold on. This is for this next. This will be for Steve in Vancouver here.
This is in order of importance.
Okay, can you maybe wave a rim shot or something here?
Yeah.
This is not punchline humor though. This is Seinfeld-esque observational humor.
Okay.
It's sort of smile funny, not laugh out loud funny. No, I just wonder about why do they need more than one alarm? What is it? Is there a snooze alarm on the first one?
To indicate its seriousness.
But okay, but you're ruining the bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, never mind. I was just gonna say.
You
can't do the. It's no punchline now. It's been ruined. My art! No, I was just gonna say, this whole show's gonna be like this, you know. It's cause we were making fun of that guy. Now this whole show's gonna suck. My point.
I've known not to tamper with his eternal luck.
My point is, an alarm goes off at the firehouse. They go, okay, you're playing cards, right? Cause that's what they're always doing in the movies. Guys are sitting around playing cards. The alarm goes off. And they look up and they go, so what is it when they go like, we'll get it later. And they just hit the snooze, and they go back to playing card, and then, like, the second alarm goes off. They're like, well, two alarms. We better go. It's three. I don't understand what it means.
I'm sure these people who are calling do.
Let's go to the phones. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Dave.
Dave, what?
Calling about the fire alarm thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're talking to Rick.
Hi there.
Oh, Rick.
Talking on a live radio program, when you speak, thousands of people hear your voice.
Yes, so sorry. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. What's up, Dave? What do you got?
Okay, now on these alarms, when there's one alarm, just one station is called out. When there's two stations, just like Sarah said.
Sarah didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
She said that.
Okay, so it is the number of firehouses that are called to the scene.
That is correct.
All right. See how simple and cogent.
Very
and
simple. So,
precise.
Originally there were three, and then they had to call another one out because the fire was that much bigger.
All right. See? Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
All right. There you go. That's Dave. All right. Somewhere my grandfather was a fire chief guy. He's rolling over in his grave that I don't know these things. All right. So there you go.
I did too guess that.
You did that? I never heard you say that.
I just said four alarms, maybe four different firehouses had to respond.
You did not say that phrase at any point.
Tim heard me.
Are we taping the show today? No, thank God.
No, but he just said, I said that. You said four alarms and like maybe four different stations had to respond.
You're revising things.
Don't even.
Here's Tim.
All right. Are we done with firehouses?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to skip the obligatory Paul Stanley joke here for those KISS fans in the audience.
Well, let's get back to talking about America's biggest story, which continues to be alligators. Trappers in Florida's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Trappers in where?
Florida. Believe they may have the gator that attacked and killed a woman over the weekend. The 11.5, 100-pound, make that a 400-pound alligator, was one of the big reptiles killed by hunters following a 5-day search. Trooper Curtis Lucas says, this is the gator that killed 23-year-old Anna Marie Campbell because she was no match for it.
She wouldn't have had any chance. I mean, in the water,
yeah.
He's got all the advantage.
When she was in the water?
That's his home ground.
Oh,
he's got, he was made to operate in the water, to move in the water. She wasn't. She had no chance.
That sounds like a romantic comedy. He was made to kill. She was made to love. Could one crazy mix-up at the airport bring them together? All right. Why are you in the water? I guess I can't ask her.
Well, it's Florida. You're supposed to go swimming there.
She's dead. You can't swim in a swamp. Who swims in a swamp? Let's go down. What are you?
Anna Marie Campbell had no idea.
What are you, a hick? Let's go swim. Let's go swimming in the Okefenokee. I'm back. What could possibly go wrong with that? If you live in Florida, don't you just know that if you walk outside the front door of your house, the odds are 1 in 5 that you're going to be on FARC by the end of the day? Don't you know?
For one reason or another, yes.
All right. Are we done? Do we have more of the gator?
I do. I have one more.
Okay.
South Florida residents aren't taking any chances because it's mating season for the gators, and they're causing some problem. Pesky critter trapper Todd Hardwick got a call to capture a 12-foot-long, 700-pound gator. Well, this is bigger than the other one, isn't it? It is. Bigger than the last one. And it had invaded a Doral backyard yesterday. He said instead of harvesting the gator, he'll let it live in captivity at a gator ranch.
This is a beautiful alligator, and he is going to get a second chance.
As they all should.
Okay.
Oh, I got one more Florida story.
Wait, I'm sorry. One more story from where?
Florida. I promise this is the last one I'll do.
Okay, sure. I believe you.
A Western Florida supermarket clerk is charged with touching more than just the groceries while on the job. This has nothing to do with a gator.
Is he? He's been bagging things?
They're investigating 23-year-old Chad Stogie. And, After 4 and 7-year-old sisters said he flashed them 4 times, they told their mother that the Publix supermarket employee lifted his apron and exposed himself in the frozen food aisle in the store.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Yeah.
He did make a full confession. He did admit to not only exposing himself, but also to having this child pornography.
What?
His initial excuse was that he didn't, he said he didn't expose himself, that maybe these little girls had misconstrued what he had done because he had simply been scratching himself because he suffered from some hygiene issue.
It's a hygiene issue.
Get an odd hygiene issue. How? I don't understand.
Well, this is Florida.
I'm sorry, it's where?
Florida.
He's in the frozen...
He works in the frozen food
aisle. Okay, look, we're speaking now as a news program, operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Mm-hmm. Exposing oneself, to my way of understanding, involves... you're either exposing your penis in the frozen food aisle, or you are not. I don't understand exactly what he could be doing that would be misconstrued as his penis being out.
Frozen in the frozen food?
Don't say it.
Okay.
Don't say it.
Well, these are thought-provoking issues, aren't they?
They really are.
Macaque.
We have Monkey Watch coming up later this hour.
Yes.
That's our prefiguring.
Much
our
later.
Monkey Watch.
Mm-hmm. That's our favorite kind of monkey.
Macaque.
Here's, hi, Sean, how are you?
Doing all right, how about yourself?
I'm fine.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
How can I help you today? Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Couples from
AM970
Engineering.
Well, I was just nodding yes, that I did hear Sarah say 4 alarms.
No, you did not. No, you did not. Your hearing is shot. You're an engineer. What do you know?
He also controls your microphone and everything in here that works.
Yeah.
You shouldn't say that.
You know, even if I'm not recording the station, and I'm not saying necessarily that I am, I'm sure there are several listeners who could give you an audio bit of Sarah saying it as well.
It's not important. It's not.
I think maybe we should investigate. Maybe we should, if someone could send a little sample.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get right. I'm sorry, I have something in my throat. Oh, and you know, and you, if only this cough button over here was wired in and worked. You know,
there's another button over there that Sarah could push.
Wait, let me try Tim's cough button. I'm sure that one must work by, oh, no. Wait.
Well, that was no priority.
What about these big red on and off buttons? I wonder if these are working. No, those aren't working yet either.
It's not to piss off the engineer.
I did not fire the first shot on this. He came in and started...
It is not firing a shot. He was just setting you straight. You're lying.
Well, I don't think Les Moonves has signed off on these buttons yet. So I advise you to have a little patience.
Sumner Redstone's got to send in a memo. Wire the button. Go. Do it now.
So let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
A memo comes out.
There is a chain of command at this network.
A memo comes out of Sumner Redstone's hyperbaric chamber. Yes, hook up the button. So.
What can I say to that?
All right.
I think Katie Couric's buttons will work just fine.
I don't want to know about Katie Couric's buttons. All right.
We have to break.
Oh, yeah, we
should. Here's what's coming up. Monkey, and it is a double monkey watch, I believe.
A corpse watch before that.
And corpse watch. Yeah! All right. Let's see. So, yeah, double monkey watch coming up. We have corpse watch coming up. We have Ed McCarthy coming up. We have Jim Roop coming up. We have Lisa Goddard coming up later on. Jen Lane, top 5 drum intros to a rock and roll song. You stay there. We will continue after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show live on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
All my papers legit. Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit? Well, my glove compartment is locked, so it's the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that. Aren't you sharp as tack? You're some type of Lars.
All right, so Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on in the program, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us. We've also got our, I swear, on everything that is holding. We'll do this tabloid thing today. The McCartney story's already got a date. I'll read it anyway. What else? Top five drum intros to a rock and roll song. And we'll talk about the coin news piece that featured us last night. We'll do that. Rick said this email, subject line, your show. Another great show. No one could do it better. Also, by the way, no one could do it worse. Just so you know, spreading the word. Wallace. Well, it's what we aim for. Rick, as I watched the television last night, I just had to turn to my girlfriend and say, golly, that Sarah sure has hairy eyes. Thought you'd like to know. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN Radio Atlanta correspondent Ed McCarthy joining us now to give the word to the people. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you today, Rick?
I'm rolling right along. Brother, we're doing everything we do with excellence and flawlessness. So, who can really make that claim other than Nobody. Us and the guy I stole that phrase from?
The seal of quality, so to speak.
It is true. Let me ask you this. Now, we didn't have a chance actually to talk about this much. I just mentioned at the top of the hour that there's, and I didn't even really believe this when I read it this morning, there is Jimmy Hoffa news.
There is Jimmy Hoffa news.
So what is...
It's over 30 years old, but it's late in coming, but here it is.
So what exactly is, what is going on?
Well, didn't we think he was at the Meadowlands under Giant Stadium?
That's somewhere? All. Okay, here's the three stories that I always heard. The three stories growing up that I passed around Jimmy Hoffa. A, Giant Stadium, that he was somewhere, like, they always hit the 50-yard line, but I think they just threw that in to be colorful.
Hoffa Corner.
I always heard that he was buried under Giant Stadium. B, that he was in the Everglades somewhere. Or C, the big story that everybody heard was that he went into the Alpo dog food factory. And that, like, if you were buying Alpo dog food, you know, like 75, 76, whenever it was, in the mid-70s, that you were getting little bits of Hoffa.
Ah, boy, if the dog just went...
That's just one of those urban legends that, you know, that floated around everywhere. So now... What is that? So now, do they found him? They think they found him? What's up?
Well, they're looking. They're looking in Milton Township, Michigan. It's outside of Detroit, and they're going through this farmland right now because they say they've been pursuing this for 2 years, these leads. They had a mobster who said that he was last seen, he was last seen at a restaurant in Detroit, but they were checking out this house in Detroit. Well, nothing turned up there, but they've been following these leads now apparently for 2 years. So they're digging, and they've got a lot of FBI agents out there, and a lot of the locals from that township. They're working to see if they can follow up and see if they're going to come up with some remains. I don't know what they're going to come up with.
Well, so is there actually any hard evidence here? Is it just some guy who heard from a guy who knows a guy who thinks he heard?
Well, that's just the whole thing. We don't know at this point. They're you know, they're getting what they say are leads, which means they're not going to tell you much at this particular point. But they're digging. They must have some focus of interest here because they've been out there since yesterday. So they're continuing the dig today.
Here's the thing about this story. I am not one of those guys who enjoys a good mystery, who likes the being shrouded in sort of puzzlement and all of that. You know, like the D.B. Cooper and the Loch Ness Monster. I am not a guy who enjoys the sort of tantalizing vagueness of it. I want answers. So nothing could make me happier than for them to find bone, skull, fingertip, whatever. Something so we can just check this off the list of things. And I'll tell you why. Because as long as a mystery like this continues to be out there, every time there's something about it on the Discovery Channel, I'm going to have to take an hour out of my day and watch it.
I know. I feel the same way.
It's like the Loch Ness Monster. You know, my wife has lectured me about this endlessly. I am sucked into every show that airs about the Loch Ness Monster. And you know what? It's pointless. Clearly they haven't found it. There would have been a news story if they had found it. They would have put out some sort of press release. And yet I sit there watching every Loch Ness Monster show thinking this will be the one that finally definitively has the smoking gun.
We'll see the Loch Ness Monster come out now. And
I'm such...
interview the Loch Ness.
I know I'm an idiot. I know better. Yet I sit there and watch it. Go, no, honey, they're going to have new evidence on this one. There's no new evidence. Just like it is with Hoffa. It's just always, it's a bunch of crap. So I'm hoping that, so they're excavating today?
Yeah, they've been out since yesterday doing it. They're digging, and they're in an area where they think they're going to find something. So we'll have to wait and see.
That'd be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be?
It really would be. That would just be the best thing ever. So we'll check with you probably tomorrow to see how it went.
We'll see. That'll be DNA time, huh?
Oh, see, that's good. See, but it's like when they found that guy they thought was D.B. Cooper last year, and right now they're testing the DNA on, like, a cigarette that they found that his widow gave them or something. Nothing could make me happier. I love to get mysteries checked off and taken care of.
That's
all right.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
You bet.
All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in Atlanta. There you go. Here's let's go ahead and do the, Tim, let's go ahead and do this Hoffa thing anyway.
Okay. Well, anyway, federal authorities expect to resume their search. This is in Milford Township.
Oh, are we going to do this as a watch, should we?
Sure. Why not?
Here we go. It's a theoretical corpse watch.
I'm digging up bones.
Perhaps.
I'm digging up bones. Resuming things that's better left alone.
I think Sarah's got an undisclosed, or no, what do they call it? A curious hygiene. You're doing the scratching thing.
No,
again.
But that's always a good sign.
Are you getting stigmata?
No, if your palms itch, doesn't that mean you're going to get money?
No, that means you have stigmata.
Does that mean you're going to start paying me, Rick?
No. No, again, it means that you've been chosen to suffer because of the Lamb of God.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know what it means. What does it mean when your palm itches, Tim?
Never heard of it.
I think it means you have a guinea worm.
Okay, thanks.
Isn't that thing that you get from, that it burrows under your skin? Isn't that what that's called, a guinea worm?
A guinea worm?
I believe it's called a guinea worm. Hunter Thompson used to write about them.
No, I have not.
It's a worm that lives just underneath your skin, and then you don't know it's there until it leaps out of your skin and attacks you. Or something like that. And then you have to take it out by wrapping it around a pole of some kind.
Well, that's all very compelling, I'm sure. But between 30 and 40 FBI employees are looking for the body, or what's left of it, of Jimmy Hoffa, the grandson of the man who bought the property from this fellow named Ronald McMaster, who was one of Hoffa's associates, or so he called himself, wants to remain anonymous but says he heard the rumor about Hoffa being buried there. Number four.
I don't know where it started. I don't, because I was younger, but it's always been the rumor. It was either at the horse farm or there's a pond back there.
Meanwhile, secret meetings are being held at the farm, and a backhoe has been seen. The search began with a light dig, but heavy equipment is expected to be used today, all being kept in secret. The entire effort expected to take 2 or 3 weeks.
All right, then. So there you go.
Comments?
How can it take 2 or 3 weeks, first of all? I mean, I guess unless they have no idea at all where he's buried.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some way? Yeah, they're not going to find him anyway. It's just going to be one of those things I get all worked up about, and then nothing's going to happen.
It's Jimmy Hoffa. Geraldo Rivera thing.
No, totally. It's one of those Al Capone's vault. But that's a cultural reference that hasn't aged well. You know what I mean? Sarah has no idea what I'm talking about when we talk about.
Yes, I do. But I've been told, I think.
And that's only because I've explained it to him. Yeah. Like, when we say, there ought to be some sort of dictionary of, like, pop culture references for the younger set so they can enjoy this program.
Exactly. Like, because there's that reference in Titanic, and I didn't know what they meant by it.
You ever heard of the Titanic?
Masters of the Universe?
No. When they're opening the vault, and he's just like, Geraldo's career never.
In the Bill Paxton segment. Yeah, and you didn't get it?
No, and I didn't get it because I didn't know about the Al Capone vault thing.
We got to put up some little Philofax or whatever. You know, on the side, it'll be like, you know, when I mentioned Star Blazers, you can look at them. Star Blazers. Star Blazers was a so... That'll be like that Encyclopedia Portlandia thing. That'll be the next thing you do, the Rick Emerson Dictionary of Popular Culture Literacy. And it'll just be...
Star Blazers was a so-called Japanimation television program airing in the mid-70s, first in Japan, then in American television. It concerned a trip to the planet Iskandar.
And there you go. It's like four dateless guys out there. Give me the thumbs up right now. That's our corpse watch, by the way. There you go.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone.
Randy Travis, ladies and gentlemen. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we'll play back this coin sound from last night. We have real Guns N' Roses news on the way. We'll get to that. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. This is Tim Riley.
Oh, by the way, speaking of gangsters, A&E has bought the syndication rights to The Sopranos.
That is good for them.
And they'll start showing them next January.
Now, when you say it's only going to be edited, because A&E is a cable network, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Here's what the man won't ever tell you. Is that, theoretically, you've been sort of hoodwinked. Mm. You've been took. You've been bamboozled. Run amok. The man won't tell you this. The liberal mainstream media, kids, it's a conspiracy of silence here. They won't tell you that regular cable You can, they can show whatever they want on cable. I
Correct.
Mean, but not even able, like, people think you have to get HBO or Showtime or Cinemax or whatever to get boobs and butts and nudity. It's not true. One look at Comedy Central. I mean, Comedy Central has, if you look at some of the things that South Park has done, like when, because people don't even remember this. 2 years ago on Comedy Central, they ran on Thanksgiving the South Park film uncut, completely and totally uncut. Because it is cable. So the major networks, they have to abide by certain regulations. They could run full on porn on basic cable if they wanted to. No one ever points that out, but they could. So what are they going to be cutting on A&E when it comes to The Sopranos? Is it saying?
So it says they've been pruning The Sopranos of material it fears may be too risque, vulgar, or grotesque.
Just get rid of the scenes of Tony and Carmela having sex. That's all I need you to get rid of. Please, I understand that everyone needs a little loving, but come on now.
Well, they're afraid of the luxury car companies that may go elsewhere to reach consumers if they leave that stuff in. A&E, which is available to about 90 million homes, will begin selling those ads next month, so we'll see what happens.
Well, that's a stupid thing to be afraid of anyway, because do they have no notion of the people who watch The Sopranos now? Do they not understand the audience that The Sopranos attracts tends to be smarter, wealthier, better educated? I mean, people, and you know this is true. And it's not just because it's on HBO. It's because it's a well-written, well-crafted, solidly done show that doesn't appeal to just every mindless gum chewer in the freaking country. So it attracts a responsible, mature audience that is able to handle adult content. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, critics say it's an overreaction. Some elementary school students in Pennsylvania got suspended for mixing up sugar and Kool-Aid crystals and calling it happy crack. They put the mixture in plastic bags and labeled it as such.
Happy
but some
crack.
Parents don't think that shouldn't have got the students suspended from Shenandoah Elementary School. These are elementary school people. And at least one school board member agrees. She says the colored mixture looked like grainy candy found inside Pixie Sticks. And she didn't see anything wrong with it.
Here's a question, and this is another one of those when I was a boy thing. Do they even sell candy cigarettes anymore?
I haven't seen them around. I used to get them as a kid.
Sarah, did they have candy cigarettes when you were growing up?
They might have, but my mom wouldn't let me near them.
The best thing about candy cigarettes is how they had the sugar inside, so you could simulate blowing smoke.
And they looked like they were lit at the end,
yeah.
That little red dot.
They were pretty cool. Don't let anybody tell you they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be going to the phone?
Can I give you the sticky note?
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hey, this is Steve.
Steve, how can I help you on this fine Thursday?
Well, I heard you talking about alligators in Florida earlier, and how come people go swimming with them? Everybody goes swimming with them. They're in all the lakes, and it was normal to go swimming in the lakes and skiing and rope swinging.
It's fun.
Did it occur to you that perhaps it was not such a bright idea?
I was terrified, but they would call me a wuss if I didn't go in, you know, and
okay.
So everybody would go
okay.
In.
Those people are simpletons. Don't listen to them. I'm not saying you got to be a scaredy cat, but if you look, let's just lay it out here. A gigantic dinosaur-like creature with rows and rows of jagged, sharp, 6-inch teeth is nature's way of saying, don't come in this.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
It's the same as the surfers with the sharks. It's the same story.
I think the difference is that you don't always know a shark is there. You can't really spot it. They typically stay far away from the shore in most cases. When you can see alligators in a lake, I mean, and first of all, when secondly, anyway, when we're talking about the sharks, you're talking about the ocean, which is huge. It's vast. It's gigantic. They got the entire ocean to swim in. You're talking about, in many of these cases, a marsh, pond, lake, swamp. It's a small, enclosed area, and it seems exponentially more likely that there's going to be something within, like, 5 feet that's going to take off your leg right below the knee, you know?
Well, what are you going to do? It's Florida.
Well, that's true. You might as well give up. Jump right in.
Yes, you might as well just off yourself now, I guess. It is true. You know, you moved from Florida.
Yes.
Was it because it's a freaky death trap?
I got too fat, and I couldn't stand the heat anymore.
That's the best reason I've ever... That's fantastic. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care, Rick.
All right, there you go. I got too fat.
I can see that thought process.
Attention advertisers. No, you know, and I got to go to Florida later this year, actually. I haven't mentioned that, but I got to go at the end of July.
Oh, for what?
I don't know if I have to, but at the end of...
What'll happen to us?
What's to become of us? No, I think I'm going to be able to get out of it, frankly. I can say this now. Actually, my wife's out of town, so I can speak freely. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be able to get out of it. Because she's going to... It's a big family reunion.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of her family lives in Florida. And so there's, anyway, and blah, blah,
you're
blah,
you're just
blah,
scared
blah.
Of the alligators, aren't you?
It's like 109, Florida in July. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've never been there.
I got the worst sunburn of my life in Florida.
Because it's goddamn hot. And when I say hot, I mean, look, I don't mean to be talking about the weather again, but it's like a hell heat down there, isn't it?
But it wasn't even the heat. It was overcast when I went there.
It wasn't even the heat so much as it was what?
It wasn't the humidity. No, it was overcast when I was there, and we'd gone to Disney World.
Those are the worst days, though, because you don't know that you're getting the UV.
Yep, we had gone to Disney World, and I hadn't laid out in the sun, so it was the last day, and so I laid out next to the pool
you
for an hour.
You can't tan.
I
end up looking like a mummy.
My skin was coming off in sheets.
Oh.
It was the most painful experience.
My skin was coming off in sheets.
I've never been so badly burned. It didn't even feel like skin anymore.
Oh, damn. What did it feel like?
It felt like a turkey, like that rough turkey skin. After you've cooked the turkey. And then I kept trying to moisturize it because I was really tan in some spots.
Too late now.
Other spots I was really white. So I was trying to even it out with a tan foundation. It didn't work.
Pictures. I want pictures.
That was my awkward stage.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad those days are all behind. Plucky.
Yeah, Baldy.
Nobody noticed. No, I don't think anybody commented on your eyebrows. No one would notice these things if you didn't mention them. So, you know, I think that's you just obsessing over a thing you don't need to obsess over. Your eyebrows look fine.
I'm obsessed. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm fine with the fact.
Do you do eyebrow maintenance just as a general? How often do you have to do that?
I don't know. Whenever they go
whenever back. You notice it? But that is like what? I thought...
Once a week.
See, maybe. When I was a kid, we were always told, though. The only reason I mentioned it, when I was a kid, I was told that when you got rid of eyebrow hair, it never came back. Because that was always the urban legend. Because we heard it about Pink Floyd, The Wall. Like, you know, and it was a big risk for Geldof to shave his eyebrows. Because, you know, those never come back. But so that they do, though.
They do.
All right.
They come back thinner.
Skin coming off in sheets. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the point is, I have to go to July. She wants me to go to July. I have to go to Florida at the end of July for like a week. And it's like, that seems like the single worst time of the year. Like, literally in the middle of summer to like... Miami. Like, why would I possibly want to do that? To spend time... So, A, it's going to be humid. B, it's going to be 190 degrees. C, I'm going to be spending time with her Mormon family who despise me. It's just going to be every possible combination of bad. But I think I can probably get out of it. I think I can probably... Because, see, the thing is, she booked it when I didn't have a job.
Ah.
And so now I can be like, no, baby, no, I got to work and be productive.
Yeah, because I'm going to be
gone
for that week.
We can't be left unsupervised.
You're not going to be... I thought it was in June that
in
you were going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
all. You could tell her you can't have any more show staff leaving.
Yeah, see, I don't even. Yeah, all right. So there you go. I don't even know what we're doing. Here's Tim Riley.
It's half of the Religious Nutcase Watch. A double.
Your Religious Nutcase Watch. It's a two for Thursday.
This is of particular interest to us in the Northwest, especially since this is the celebration of the Mount St. Helens thing.
Yeah, again, because we are noting our locality here. Mm-hmm. We're
talking to the people.
A proud part of Portland here in the Pacific Northwest.
We are. The Reverend Pat Robertson said God has told him that storms and possibly a tsunami will hit America's coastline this year. The founder of the Christian Broadcast Network told viewers of the 700 Club that the revelations came to him during his annual personal prayer retreat in January. I heard the Lord right, he said, about 2006. The coast of America will be lashed by storms. Robertson said May 8th. Oh, apparently he said this last week. He added specifics to Wednesday's show. There may be something as bad as a tsunami in the Pacific Northwest, he said. Robertson has come under intense criticism in recent months for suggesting the U.S. should assassinate the Venezuelan president. And that Israeli Prime Minister Sharon's stroke was divine retribution for Israel's political.
I love that guy. See, that's the thing. I mean, someday, God forbid, because he is a man of the cloth, deserving the utmost of respect. But someday, Pat Robertson will go home to be with Jesus or, you know, whoever. And I hope he lives a long and healthy life. I hope that he is free of all ailments and physical catastrophes. I'm sure though that many of his flock will look forward to the day when Pat Robertson is dead because they wish for him to be closer to God, to commune with the Almighty more, you know, more directly and intimately. All I'm saying is I'm going to miss that guy because just every he's like clockwork, man. He's like the Pope with the encyclicals. Just every 90 days. So did God say if anybody this is because of something?
Stay tuned for further announcements from God.
But I don't understand this. So he said that.
He doesn't give you all the information at once.
Is this like a pay-per-view thing where he's just going to tease us and I got to like buy something to find out why God's going
to
kill
us? You have to donate to the Christian broadcast.
So let me understand this. So because now maybe am I getting my nutcases wrong here? It was Falwell that said that 9/11 was because of gays and lesbians and feminists.
Yes.
And Satanists and pagans. Did Pat Robertson say that Katrina was because of something?
What was Katrina about? I don't remember.
I think, I may be wrong about this, and I apologize to the Reverend Pat Robertson if I am, but I do believe he said that Katrina was because of something. Vibrators or something. Something bad, something that people were doing that was sinful in the eyes of God. And then he said that something was retribution for what? What did he say?
Let's see here. It was Sharon's stroke was divine retribution for Israel's pullout from the Gaza Strip.
Okay, so pullout. So that, but there's no reason. So God's just going to kill us in the Pacific Northwest just for general wickedness?
He hasn't disclosed the reason for it yet.
All right, okay.
It's forthcoming.
Okay, well, there you go. Part two.
After demanding an apology yesterday from a local bishop at his weekly press conference, D.C. Mayor Anthony Williams had to make an apology himself after he lost his composure and used the Lord's name in vain.
Oh.
It was back on Palm Sunday when Bishop Alfred Owens of Greater Mount Calvary told his congregation that the church needs real men and not, quote, sissies and faggots, unquote. Yesterday, Mayor
Jesus
Williams...
Jesus, God.
Yesterday, Mayor Williams let it be known that Bishop Owens should issue a public apology or be stripped of his role on the city's interfaith council.
Otherwise, he would have to... We'd have to discontinue that relationship. And I would really regret that because he really has been a great leader in the city.
Clearly. Scream great leadership.
Then the mayor made a big slip-up. On a separate issue, the mayor first became flustered when one of the members of the press corps and proclaimed, God damn it. He actually said it twice. God damn it, God damn it. When asked if he thought it might have been a double standard to use the Lord's name in vain, the mayor apologized and he did so several times.
I am glad that we have these shining examples of holy Christian leadership in this country to help us walk the path of righteousness in these most troubled times. Clearly, they are an inspiration to the least among us, especially the children. There's your Religious Nutcase Watch. Thank you for Thursday right here on... let me read a couple of these. Rick, speaking of Star Blazers and relating to the people, I love Star Blazers. I am, in fact, home alone and dateless. Thanks for reminding me, John. Well, it's what I do. Subject line, candy cigarettes. Sarah's mom didn't let her play with candy cigarettes as a kid. Clearly, it did not have the intended effect. Just making the observation. That's Michael. Rick, I've got to know, when your wife is growing up with her Mormon family, did they have a trampoline? Every Mormon family I've ever known has one. That is completely true, by the way. She did not, I don't think. But it is true. You go to Salt Lake, man, it's like everybody there has a trampoline. They're legion, man.
Even Marie Osmond?
Do we have a story about that or sound, or is that just an observation you were making earlier? Because you were
That is the truth.
Okay, I'm just saying, is that... Like, is that an aid of a news story, or is that just something you happen to see?
My personal viewing.
Okay, so this is... The 5 minutes leading up to the going on the air today were interesting because, A, we were slagging someone. We were speaking in less than glowing terms about someone who works in the same industry as us.
And what good is it if you don't say mean things about them?
And then Pat Robertson style, God punished us by having a tsunami of technical and audio problems that hit us right at the beginning of the show. Clearly, we needed to be punished and set back on the path of non-wickedness. But then, as I'm getting my coffee, Tim just makes the observation randomly. It is what we call a non sequitur. It was, as my friend Martin would say, apropos of nothing. Tim is just busy scribbling away, compiling news stories, and he just says out loud to no one, Marie Osmond is this close to snapping.
I get right to the point.
And because you saw her somewhere, or?
She was on Larry King with Donny Osmond. They're promoting, I guess this is the 30th anniversary of Donny Marie. So they're releasing the best of on a DVD.
Still have that face that looks like it was just lacquered on with a big air gun?
She does, but, I mean, what can you do? It's Marie Osmond. you get used to it after a while. I'm sure her husband has.
I don't think so. Hasn't she been dumped like 5 different times?
No, but I mean, she is laughing at the top of her lungs about everything that came out of Larry King's mouth. She's laughing about her husband having a brain tumor. The fact that her mother died on Mother's Day. I mean, everything was just a laugh riot to her. And Donnie... You know, Donnie is more of a sensible Mormon type, and he's just sitting there shaking his head at this whole thing, wondering why did he agree to do this show? And they agree they really have a hard time getting along at times.
He's just wondering if he could just churn out Endless Soldier of Love remix or something, just so he can avoid having to be anywhere with Marie. Marie Osmond is just as
Donnie is a fruitcake.
She really is. She's completely unhinged. And you look at her, and I haven't seen her for a few years, but it's good to know that something's never changed. You are so right, though. She has got the most advanced case of that crazy housewife syndrome. You know what I mean? Where it's like, and you see this a lot in Utah because...
Oh, and she was showing pictures of a house burned down, laughing about that, too.
And it was a whole lot of, my whole house is gone. All my possessions are lost. You know, just totally with that kind of crazy bug-eyed look on her face as though she might immediately... As though she's just going to take out a machete and start swinging it at any minute. You meet women like this all the time in deeply religious communities, and Salt Lake is no exception because they get married at like 18 to a guy who just came back from his mission at 21. They immediately start pumping out children. Body goes all to hell. Brain melts down into mush. They start looking at their lost youth and wondering why the hell they're stuck in this miserable existence. And then they just jack themselves full of full of drugs and Prozac. And they start going to church 75 times a week. And they just, by the time you meet them at the age of 35, they are just living on the knife edge of mental collapse. And Marie Osmond, wasn't she on TV a while back? She had the postpartum.
Yeah.
Like it was when Andrea Yates drowned all her kids and they dragged up Marie Osmond to, you know, the...
Right, she left all her kids alone with her husband who has a brain tumor and burning the house down while she's driving up and down the California coast on vacation for several months. Not answering phone calls.
And she's just, and the makeup is getting like thicker and thicker, and the eyes are getting bigger and crazier, like every time you see her everywhere. I'd still do her though, she's hot. All right, so there you go. Well, let's do one more and then we'll break, for the love of God. Coming up next hour, we'll break out our new watch.
Oh, here's a Utah story.
All right, well, let's do this. Oh.
Well, I guess we're not.
Oh, I thought you meant do this.
No, we'll roll with it. Huh? We'll just go, we'll take a break.
Oh, let's take a break.
It's okay, we're over time anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Surprise. Rotten old hole. All right. Here's what's coming up next hour. We'll play this coin. God is my rock. We'll play this coin sound from last night. We'll have a brand new watch. We'll talk about this action at 39th and Powell. Do our tabloid recap. Top 5 rock and roll drum intros of all time. You stay there. It's the Rick Everson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Dancing through the night with you. Well, if I gotta be damned, you know I wanna be damned. Gotta be damned, you know I wanna be damned.